You're listening to episode 4062 of Grow Great, the podcast. Small business, big impact. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here, coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. We have hit, approaching the midpoint of May. Hard to believe, but here we are, 2017. Small business, big impact. According to the U.S. Small Business Administration, small business is big. Here's what their website says. Some bullet points. The 28 million small businesses in America account for 54% of all U.S. sales. Small businesses provide 55% of all jobs and 66% of all net new jobs since the 1970s. The 600,000 plus franchised small businesses in the U.S. account for 40% of all retail sales and provide jobs for some 8 million people. The small business sector in America occupies 30 to 50% of all commercial space, an estimated 20 to 34 billion square feet. The number of small businesses in the United States has increased 49% since 1982. And lastly, they say since 1990, as big business eliminated 4 million jobs, small businesses added 8 million new jobs. Yeah, don't tell me small business ain't big. It is big, but you knew that already. I mean, you can apply just about any measurement that you want in looking at small business and small business ownership. And you can realize that it has an enormous impact in the United States. Now, I did not research the global impact of small business, but I would imagine that it has an equally large, maybe in some countries, an even larger impact. Perception is not reality. We often hear that trite phrase that perception is reality, but it's not. Yesterday, I was reading that Apple is sitting on over $250 billion in cash. Berkshire Hathaway, they had their annual meeting over the weekend. It streamed live, thanks to Yahoo. And it was on, it was Saturday morning. Well, actually, it was Saturday all day. I watch it every year. It really is fascinating television, and it's very entertaining watching Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger hold forth. And Warren Buffett reported that they are sitting, Berkshire Hathaway is sitting on over $90 billion in cash. I mean, big money. Big, 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 big money. Headline grabbing numbers like that, it focuses our attention, all of our attention, on major league players, big business. But meanwhile, Today is Wednesday, May the 10th, 2017. Today and every other day, every morning, small business owners are opening their doors, flipping on light switches, and they're starting another day to make their presence felt in the world. Some of them don't have any employees. Some just have a few employees. Others, they have hundreds of employees. Some of them have revenues that they would describe as not nearly enough, and others that would tell you a whole bunch. And collectively, there is no doubt about their impact in the local economy where they reside and the broader economies where they serve. But, you know, because individually they're not fancy, the perception is that they're not that important or that their work isn't that significant because these are not, well, these aren't the clickbait headlines that you see online, and they certainly are not the things that business magazine covers tend to have. Just yesterday, Apple, with that $250 billion worth of cash, They bought a sleep tracking company based out of Finland called Bedit. Pretty clever. Kind of an offshoot of Reddit, except using the word bed. Terms are undisclosed for now, so we don't really know what they paid for it. But Bedit is a small business. And their sleep tracking technology is not something that Apple developed in-house. No, Apple bought it. Apple acquired this small business. Innovation often happens at the hands and in the imagination of a small business owner. And yeah, sure, sometimes small businesses blow up and they become really big businesses because of the innovation of owners. But, you know, the point is that the scope and scale, aside from what the Small Business Administration points out, some of the data points of small business, the other reality is just the innovation, the creativity, the heart, the determination in small business is really impactful. Small business owners make things happen. That's real. That is not perception. I don't care if it's the local dry cleaning store that does maybe a few a few hundred thousand dollars a year, or some local custom home builder that might be doing a few a few hundred million dollars a year. Small business owners are people who make things happen every single day, partly because they have to. Some will jokingly tell you that, yeah, I get things done because I have to. I've got to. What choice have I got? But I think it's mostly because they want to. Now, in a world before chain stores and regional or national restaurants even peppered every community, local businesses ruled Main Street. Well, they ruled Maple as well, and First Avenue and whatever other streets were in town. Gas stations, well, we called them back in the day, we called them filling stations, or you go fill up. And the filling station had a national name, but it was run by a local guy. It was owned by a local guy. And that historical DNA of small business, at least here in America, and I suppose it's this way all over the world, that hasn't changed. You know, I mean, it just hasn't changed. Oh, the market's changed. The landscape has changed. The technology's changed. But the DNA of these people, the DNA of the people who were brave enough, driven enough, and crafty enough to make a business come to life, that's not changed. That's still very much alive. They learned how to operate. They learned how to make a profit. And the most successful ones, they learned how to grow. Yeah, not everybody has learned how to grow. It's a hard thing. Competition has changed. Big business began to spread nationally, then globally. You can go on YouTube and you can watch just about any vlogger from any country, even remote countries, and it's funny. You'll see how the world has become westernized. Go anywhere you want, you're going to see a McDonald's in the video somewhere. You're going to see Coke. You know, you're going to see these brands that came from America that have traveled all over the globe. Small businesses suffered while these kinds of changes happened, but at the same time, they thrived. The weak operators, they fell away. Well, that happens even in big business, because guess what? Since 2008, a lot of big businesses have fallen, and more are going to continue to fall. More small ones will too, because the market decides who's going to win and who's going to lose. And the market doesn't care. The market wants what it wants. And so if you can operate, you'll do well. If you can't, you won't. That's fair. You may not think so. You certainly don't think so if you don't win. But not everybody gets a participation trophy. Not in business anyway, and not in real life. Strong operators find ways to adapt with speed that is unmatched by big business. Nimble, fast, adaptable, highly competitive. These are the strengths of small business, and it's the competitive edge that is enjoyed by successful small business owners. Well, it's also why I've been involved in the space all of my career. Size matters, but not like you think. Small business owners, sometimes they want a larger individual impact. I encounter small business owners all the time that are rather vexed by their smallness, and others that they're not vexed by it at all. They embrace it and they love it and they like the scope and the scale of it. A one-store operator may decide he wants two or more operations. A local guy may decide, I want to be a regional guy. And the regional lady entrepreneur may decide she wants to be national. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Every successful small business operator that I know, they want to grow and they want to improve. Now, they may be perfectly happy, perfectly satisfied with the overall scope and scale of their enterprise, but that doesn't mean that they want to stay put. It means that they still want to grow. They just may be okay with their smallness, however that may be defined. That's how it ought to be. I mean, it is the individual operator's choice to decide. And kudos to them, because these are people courageous enough to ignore the mass cry of go big or go home. No, I don't want to do either. I like my small business. Some small business operators confidently lead companies that generate in excess of $200 million. I know some, you probably do as well, and maybe you're one of them. But I know other small businesses that they might struggle to just, they're really working hard to try to break $1 million in gross revenue. The size doesn't necessarily determine the smallness. I used to say, and I still do say it, the flatness of the organization kind of determines it, but really what I mean by that is the proximity of the owner to the work. Because most big businesses are run by executives. They are run by professional managers. Most small businesses, most successful small businesses, they're run by operators. There are some big businesses that are run by operators. I know some big businesses that started out small and grew and grew and grew and grew and became big. And guess what? The guy at the helm, same guy. He's an operator. It's not that common. It's far more common for big business to have an executive, a manager. But successful small businesses are typically run by people who know how to get the work done. That is, they're operators. Now, it doesn't mean that small business owners don't know how to delegate, but I will tell you that in my experience, that may be a more common problem among the ranks of small business than large business, because it's a skill that small business owners need to learn. And the successful ones either have learned it or they're in the process of trying to learn it. Professional managers, you know, that are at the helm of some big, massive company, they know how to operate at scale. They have to. That's what they do. And it means that they understand how to get things done through other people. Small business owners can struggle to learn those lessons. It's not a better or worse thing. It's just a different thing. Every business, regardless of size, I don't care if we're talking about a small business or a big business, is focused on activities that fit into one or more of the three categories that I have commonly called for 15 years or more the trifecta of business building, and that is getting new customers, serving existing customers better, and not going crazy in the process. And for nearly a decade, I have worked mostly one-on-one with business operators to improve all three of those areas. And now it's time to focus. Well, it's time to narrow the focus and yet broaden the impact. Small business, big impact. It's exactly the nature of the beast. And I'm a text case evidence of it. It's why I'm launching the Bula Network Owners Alliance, a peer advisory group of just 7 small business owners from around the United States, because I know firsthand the big impact small business has, and I know the impact that small business owners can have on each other when they focus their attention on improving and growing their businesses. Nothing works better. Nothing. Yeah, it's an absolute that I'm giving you. Nothing substitutes the impact that small business owners can have on one another when they get focused on growing their business. Nothing. Nothing trumps it. I want to give you something that you can take away, and we're going to build on this moving forward in the future as we kind of pivot the podcast to really, really take aim and take focus on small business owners. It's questions, it's answers, it's questioning answers. And that sounds simple, and maybe you think, wait, questions, answers, questioning answers? Really hard, super hard. Now, I typically encounter 2 types of entrepreneurs, and I have found it fairly easy to classify business owners into just these 2 groups. Those that are eager to learn, i.e. improve, grow, get better, and those that are resistant to learn. That is, those people who are open and those who aren't. It's as simple as that. The high achievers, they're eager to learn. And they're very open to close examination of what they currently do and how they do it and why they do it. And they're also eager to share it. And sometimes they're eager to defend it if they really believe in it. And small business owners tend to be passionate kind of people, which is another thing that I'm fond of in small business. But they're also looking for ways to squeeze more productivity, to squeeze more revenue, to reach higher and stretch, and to elevate that bottom line number as well. Many of them who have not yet been able to reach the machine state, I call it a machine state when you're trying to get an organization and a business built so that you can have some degree of predictable, sustainable revenue and profit. And until you do that, you haven't quite created a machine. You need to create a machine. I don't mean a heartless thing. I don't mean a soulless thing. I mean something that gives you predictable, sustainable profit. And first, you have to have the revenue. Well, many people are struggling to still get that done. But what these high achievers all have in common, even if they haven't yet reached that point, they have high expectations. They got high hopes. They're optimistic. And it's more than optimism. It's a belief. It's an expectation. The thrill of the climb, that's what fuels them, and it's what fuels their whole team. And it doesn't matter how high the climb was today. Tomorrow's summit, it's going to, you watch. Wait till you see tomorrow. You thought today was good. Wait till you see tomorrow. That's common among every high achiever that I've ever encountered. And these are the people that I'm most attracted to serve, far and away. The process isn't complicated, but the process does demand high courage. And here's what I want you to take away from today's show as a small business owner. Questioning your answers requires an intense focus and a drive to get better, to produce better results. I'm hoping that you have that. If you don't, I can't give you that. You got to get that to yourself. But the small business owners wired like that, they don't want to lose. They hate to lose. I mean, these are among the most competitive people that I know. We hate to lose. We're not going to lose. We want to beat your brains in if you're a competitor. Now, you contrast that with those people that are resistant to learn, those people that are resistant to get better, because, you know, they kind of shrug and they kind of give you this kind of body language of shoulders up and hands outstretched of, you know, hey, whatever results happen, and very quick to excuse, very quick to point to the reasons why they may not have achieved certain things. They might sound optimistic, but they really aren't. It really is just kind of a modest approval with, yeah, you know, whatever happens, happens. Nah, not the high achiever. They're hacked. They're hacked when the numbers aren't what they ought to be. And they're even more hacked when people falter in performance, especially if the faltering in performance is due to neglect. Then they can really go ape, you know what, ballistic. I can begin the conversation in my work in serving small business owners, asking them to tell me about their sales process, and the high achievers, they are readily going to share. I mean, they're going to peel it back, and they're even going to ask for feedback along the way. The others, it's funny. It's funny, sad. They just immediately seem to go in this defensive mode, making sure that they're explaining why they do what they do and how there's no way. There's just no way that it can happen. It has to be this way. It's funny how often that phrase comes up when you're talking to people that aren't high achievers, and you can tell within 5 minutes why they aren't high achievers and why they probably never will be, because it has to be this way. You know, you don't understand it. We have to do it this way. I always want to push the buttons with those people. I've learned to stop doing that because it's just a waste of my time and theirs, but I used to do it for entertainment. Nobody can care more than you do. Here's your takeaway. A big part of why I'm launching this alliance, and I'm really turning Bula Network into what it was probably always destined to be, a peer advisory company for small business owners. So today, when somebody says, what is Bula Network? My answer is very different than what it has been for the last decade. Bula Network is a peer advisory company for small business owners, period. Now, I'm not there yet. That's the transition I'm working on, trying to make that happen. And like a small business owner that I am, I'm planning on making that happen. That's what Bula Network is going to be. Now, because my empathy is so ridiculously high, I often have to tap the brakes on my level of caring. And I had to learn this some years ago. It's a business thing. Yeah, it's a personality thing, but let's keep it in a business context here. I know it. I know that my empathy is off the charts. And people can say, well, is it possible to care too much? No, I don't think so. Oh, yeah, in business it is. It's very possible to care too much. I knew it. I've always known it. But I had to go through some things in order to really fully get to the point where I could do something about it. Mainly, I had to see things probably more clearly than I had, particularly when I was younger. Because empathy enables me to understand people. And so I can talk to a business owner or a CEO, and I can realize that they may not be finding any value in the questions and answers or in questioning answers. Some people, that's just how it goes. And I'm empathetic to that. I've always been empathetic to that. That is, I get it. I understand it. Now, earlier in my career, though, I would want to help people see value where I knew they couldn't see it, or where they wouldn't see it or didn't see it. And I finally realized I was wrong. And you're wrong, too. And learning the truth changed everything. And here's the truth. And here's what you need to learn. It's impossible. It's impossible to care more than your customers do. It's impossible to care more than your prospects do. For me, it wasn't a customer problem. It was my problem. For you, it's not a customer problem. It's not a prospect problem. It's your problem. Now, in my younger days, I did care more than the customers. And it's a hard lesson to learn because it requires empowering people to do what they want, even when what they want to do, in your opinion, is not in their best interest. So what does it require? Here's the hard part. it required me to walk away respecting their point of view and respecting their decision. I'm not going to lie to you, that wasn't easy because I'm competitive. I want to win. So I had to learn this, and now I'm trying to pass this on to prospects, clients, anybody, you. It doesn't matter if we ever work together or not. Grow Great is a podcast about helping people with their own performance. Higher human performance is what I have tagged it. That's not going to change, but the slant and the focus is going to change in that we're really going to get focused on small business owners. Small business owners. And when you realize as a small business owner that you may suffer this same problem that I suffered, it can change everything. Because here's what happened. I started saying no to people. I started having longer conversations with people who cared and people who wanted to improve. And I started having shorter or no conversations with people who didn't. Well, this is a terrific outcome, people. You know what this means? It means everybody wins. Everybody gets what they want. I mean, those owners and those CEOs who didn't want to learn, they're not bothered anymore, or they're not bothered very much. And those people that are eager, those people that are happy to engage and anxious to find out what you might be able to do to help them, they're in. That's the lesson. That's the lesson for you as a small business owner. I have a friend who helps people with their finances, and we were engaged in a bit of a coaching call the other day as I was trying to help him with some processes and workflow issues in his business. And his work is very focused on helping clients realize that they're losing money in a variety of areas in their financial life. Some of his prospects are losing a lot of money, and it's as though they have holes in their pocket. But not all of his prospects act as though they care that much. Some do, many don't. So imagine this. Imagine that you've got all this money in your pockets and you have a hole in your pocket. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, shoot fire, man. I'd want to close that hole as quickly as I could. I don't want to lose money. You do realize, don't you, that there are people that aren't going to care as much as you do. No, not about your money, about their own money. They're going to have a hole in their pocket. It's not going to bother them as much as it bothers you. When you come to realize that, and you come to understand that there is that difference in people, it can change things. And so over the course of about an hour-long phone call that the two of us had, I probed and I probed and I probed some more, and we reviewed the language that was being used to communicate to prospects and the various calls to action and pretty much everything at the front end of, I guess, what you would call the sales funnel. And I challenged him to make a few small but impactful tweaks. And every single adjustment, every single tweak that I recommended pointed to this one truth. You can't care about your prospects losing money through the holes in their pockets more than they do. It doesn't work. People who don't care about how much money they're losing, they're not ideal prospects for anybody in the financial services game. I mean, just stop and think about this. Just look at their behavior. They don't mind losing their own money. Why are they going to take time out of their day to solicit your help if you're in the financial services business? They're not. And why would they pay for you to help them? Well, they certainly wouldn't do that. They don't even care about the money they're losing now. So I told him this is going to be a hard thing to do. It's going to be a hard mental hurdle to jump, but I'm encouraging you to jump. Blow them off. Blow them off more quickly. Focus on the prospects who care more deeply about the money they're losing than you do. It always works. It just always, always works. I don't care what business you're operating. When small business owners start operating with the understanding that their biggest impact is going to be on serving people who care more, higher success is going to follow. In a recent video, I may link it in the show notes if I can remember to do it. And you can go find this at episode 4062 over at growgreat.com. But I did a pretty short video. I'd heard from a few people. I get positive feedback when I do sales things, and I'm not a sales trainer. I've just been doing sales for a long, long time. And I certainly don't claim to be world class at it. I understand it. I get it. I practice it. I do it. I'm an operator. So there's that. But I did this little short video about how we have to get visibility. We've got to get on people's radar. If people don't know who you are, there's no way you're going to sell them anything. But once we get their attention, once we get the visibility, then they need to understand who are you and what do you do? Why would I even listen to you? But you got to do more than that to get the sale. The last thing you need to do, and this is the one where this really is congruent with today's message of you can't care more than your prospects or your customers. And that is, you've got to get appreciation. You've got to encounter people who know who you are, know what you have, and they appreciate what you have. They appreciate it enough that they're willing to pay for it. And not everybody does. I used to think that part of selling, because I grew up old school, right? And I grew up with old school people teaching all the sales tactics and much of the sales training, no offense to the insurance game, but much of the sales training back in the day, 50s and 60s, that was passed on to those of us that came into the workplace in the 70s, came from the insurance game. And it was great stuff, don't get me wrong. But much of it had to do with, it was very manipulative compared to the world that I wanted to operate in, and the way that I always did operate, by the way. I was a contrarian even back in the day when if you were talking, you were selling. If you were listening, then they were in control. And as a sales guy, you always kept control. I mean, that was pounded into me by the old heads that ran the companies where I worked in my early days. And I always pushed against it. I always resisted. And sometimes took some grief over it, except the results always panned out. I always performed at a high level. And so I got left alone. I realized that as long as I'm performing, nobody cares what I do or how I do it. As long as it's ethical and legal, and it always was. In fact, I leaned more that way and away from the traditional hocus pocus, bait and switch kind of stuff. So I got left alone, and that was great. But I did this video, and in this video, when I talked about these two stages of visibility and then understanding, but if you don't get to the point of appreciation, nothing's going to happen. And no amount of appreciation on your part is going to help your prospect appreciate what you have. Just like you caring more than they do isn't going to help. You can't care more than they do. If you do, you just have to walk away. You have to realize that you're trying to find people that care as much as you do, preferably that care more than you do, because it's their life, it's their business, it's their thing. Nearly every small business owner that I've ever served is searching for better customers. It's a common refrain. We need better customers. And many mean by that they need people that are willing to spend more, people that are willing to buy more, invest more, blah, blah. It's hard to accomplish, and the reason it's hard to accomplish is because it demands this seemingly unreasonable courage, and that is the courage to walk away from less ideal customers. It's real common for me to hear people behave as though, and they'll even use language like, well, when I get to this point, then I'll start doing these other things. I'll start behaving in ways to attract better customers when I get to a dollar amount. It's usually a dollar amount. And I'll usually stop them and I'll say, okay, let's think about this. So we're going to behave and we're going to take action that's completely incongruent with growing our business, elevating our performance. But when we get to this state of high performance, then we'll start acting like a high performance business. How's that worked out for you so far? I haven't met a business owner yet that says it's worked out. And you know what? I'm never going to, because it doesn't work out. That's the logic that we work out in our mind, and it doesn't work. You can't get from there. You can't get from here to there by continuing to do what you've always done when what you're doing isn't working or isn't working as well as you would like it to. The courage to walk away from the less than ideal customer. The courage to stop trying to convince people who won't appreciate your product. They won't appreciate your service. It doesn't matter how much effort you give it. Stop caring as much as the people who don't care enough to appreciate you. I want your small business to have the biggest impact possible. I don't want to determine that. That's not my job. That's not my role as a podcaster or as a service provider. It's not who I am. That's your job. You own the joint. My role is to serve those of you who deeply care to climb just as high as you can. And right now, my role is as a podcaster of Grow Great is to attract small business owners who care deeply about growing great. Because I got news for you. I got some listeners and I hear from them. I'm pleased to have them. Well, that's disingenuous. I'm not pleased to have them. I guess I'm sort of satisfied to have them. But they don't want to do the work. They want to dream about it. They want to think about it. They want to wish that it were different. I don't want to do that. I just don't want to do that. I don't want to spend time with people like that. I want to spend time with people that are driven and people that care as much as I care or more. I'm talking about taking small business to new heights. And right now just in the Alliance, I'm looking for 14. I'm only looking for 14 people to fill peer advisory groups, one that will meet in the morning and one that will meet in the late afternoon. You can find the details by going to BULANetwork.com/alliance. Just go to growgreat.com and you'll find a link there as well. And starting right now, I'm going to dive more deeply into the content here and in the podcast, and I'm going to aim it at serving you, the small business owner, those of you that care enough to achieve more. I've done a lot of coaching through the years, and you've heard it, and it's trite, but it's still a powerful thing. Team, T-E-A-M, it does mean together everybody achieves more. It does. It's an accurate, trite phrase. Together everybody achieves more. It's always been true, and in the coming years, I think it's going to even prove to be more true among leaders and business owners. You're going to see it. I promise you, you're going to see it. You're seeing it more and more because of the internet and the connectivity that we all have to one another. It's not social media. It's internet. It's the way the world is. It's the connection and the collaboration that we have together. And our success is always enhanced, always, always, always enhanced when we surround ourselves with people who care enough to help us. And when we match or we exceed it with our own commitment, our own desire to help ourselves. So today, kind of at the relaunch of the Grow Great podcast, I'm going to tell you to be bold, be courageous, and man, let's find a way to achieve more together. And there you have it, episode 4062. Again, you can find links and show notes and all kinds of ways to connect with me by going to growgreat.com. Grow Great will take you to Bula Network, by the way. Bula Network is all about leveraging connection and collaboration for improved performance. And as I said earlier, Bula Network now is a peer advisory company serving small business owners. Period. That's who and what I am. I'd be interested in talking to you if you're interested in being some of the first to be part of this alliance, one of 14 small business owners from around North America. Yeah, right now I'm limiting it to America. I'm in the Central Time Zone. There are details over at the website under Bula Network Owners Alliance. My plan, my tentative plan is these are going to be groups that are going to be conducted by way of video conferencing platform like Zoom. And one of these will meet from 7 to 9 Central Time, and the other will meet from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Time. Day of the week to be determined by the group, obviously. And we will get together a couple of times a month for 2 hours to work on our business and work on growing our business. And yep, we're going to go heavy into all three of the trifecta of business building: getting new customers, serving existing customers better, and not going crazy in the process. And if we cannot accomplish all three, then we will not succeed. And we will succeed. I'll make sure of it. Reach out to me if there's anything I can do to be of service to you. I greatly appreciate you listening. Share the podcast with others. I hope you'll subscribe. If you care to leave a 5-star review, I don't want a 4, 3, 2. I certainly don't want a 1. I would like a 5-star review over at iTunes. I don't ask for those very often, but today I'll ask. Why not? Hey, greetings. From Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, my name is Randy Cantrell. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio.